Yes, fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really kind of funny. My cat always comes in at the same time. I think it
Mine
picks
too.
Up on the vibe. I really do. It comes in and yeah. You know, hangs out every time.
Jumps on my lap.
It's amazing.
Michael from Waterville.
Hello, Michael. Where are you calling from?
Waterville.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good evening. It's Kathy from Rockland, California.
Good evening, Kathy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Muted.
Oh,
yeah.
That was interesting.
That was did they decide on the Saturday thing?
What about the Saturday thing?
Yeah, are they going to have the 3-hour thing?
It's been known at this point. Ben will probably talk about it tonight.
Okay, great.
That was a great call on Monday.
Yes, it was. I want to welcome those who just joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Now, this is Ron in Mountain Grove.
Good evening, Ron. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Okay, how you doing, Ike?
I'm doing great, thanks. And if there are more callers who joined in and who haven't announced themselves, feel free to do so. We'd like to know who you are and where you are.
Susan in Delaware.
Hello, Susan. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
This is Donna and Dave in Mesa, Arizona.
Hi, Donna. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hi, it's good to hear you.
All right. To hear you.
So, Donna, you made it to Arizona. Congratulations.
Been here over a month. Thank you.
Yes.
Glad you made it there safely.
Yeah, me too.
I want to welcome Colleen.
Oh, hi. Hi, hi. How are you doing?
I need to...
There's a really big echo.
We have too much static going on.
Not bad.
All right.
Suzanne in Columbus.
Yeah, Stephen Poinsdale.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the call. And who is this from Columbus?
Suzanne.
Hello, Suzanne. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Fine. Thanks. Hi. Hi, Wynn.
All right. Wynn's not here yet.
Oh, he's not there yet. Okay.
Hi, Steve. How's your new baby grandchild?
She's beautiful.
Oh.
Well. Hi.
All right.
Don from Rexville.
Hello, Don. How are you doing?
Good. Is your name Heinz?
Heinz. G-I-J-S.
G-I-J-S?
We all do that.
Is it German?
We've all stumbled through that one.
Well, from, the yellow theme came in from a far distant place, and that's the name of the theme.
G-I-J-S. Who spells anything G-I-J-S?
German.
Mom and Dad.
IJ is the Dutch Y.
Oh, Dutch. Oh, okay. I thought you heard. I heard you speaking German like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Sounded like it. It's
yeah,
German.
He speaks Spanish too. He's multilingual.
I took German in high school. And the only thing I remember is "Wo sind meine Gummischuhe." For anybody who knows German,
I work there.
Hi there.
Hello, Wynn.
Welcome, Wynn.
Thank you for showing up, Wynn.
Join the club.
You're very welcome. Close. Is Terry here?
I have not seen her yet, no.
Oh, my God. And it's after the hour.
Yes. Your live PBS. I want to welcome all those who are listening to BBS Radio over the internet. Thank you all for being
here. Close enough.
Is Daphne here?
No, she's not.
What a schlock operation. Jeez.
How can it be so disorganized and yet take so many people so high?
Well, I think it's part of the reason, okay? It's that we're unpredictable.
The ragged edges.
The ragged edges. I mean, for your guys' information, I'm sitting in the supermarket right now.
That's better than other places it could be.
I just sent out the mail, and I can't even go get Terry and get her on the line.
Because you're in the supermarket and she's at home?
Well, I'm going to drive home with you guys.
Well, we all got to
don't text while you're driving.
Anything you want her to call on the cell phone?
You want to call her on the cell phone? Is that Terry? Hey, welcome everybody. This is Woody Priest. Walking through the exit doors of Bosch's supermarket in Sedona. Here we go. We don't want to record this yet. This is sometimes when you have to draw the line.
This is a classic, man.
Is this classic? Well, at least I'm not in the men's room somewhere.
Hello, Wynn, Terry, Daphne, Heist.
Hey, Lisa.
That's Lisa.
Oh, Wynn, Michael from Chicago.
Hi, Michael.
Thank you.
Michael, this is Wynn, walking around the parking lot of
Bosch's
in Sedona.
Oh, good.
Hi there.
What's the temperature out there?
Well, it's cool, but it's not as cold as Chicago, I don't think.
Well, we got,
actually, we're 49. It's not bad.
Yeah.
30.7 here in Flagstaff.
If I was really sophisticated, I'd have a little camera with me.
Yeah.
And you could actually see the supermarket.
Wow.
Did you say 30.7 in Flagstaff, Steve?
Yep.
It's 59 down here in Southern California.
Oh, 0.6 now. It's dropping fast.
That's Steve in Flagstaff. It's 30.
Yeah, it is. I.
30 degrees up there?
30.
What was the 65. High?
65. What
was the high
65
today?
In Mobile.
Mobile, Alabama.
65?
Yeah, it's nighttime here.
Boy, I tell.
What was the high temperature in Flagstaff?
If anyone's listening for the first time, don't go away. It's worth waiting for.
That's true.
I just want to say, roll tide.
We made it to 45 today.
Congratulations, happy birthday.
You know, one of the things that happens on these calls, if you hear these people talking, this is what happens when you, every Sunday, they all become one with each other.
Hi, Wynn.
And they end up on Monday or Wednesday, and suddenly they feel like friends because they went into the invisible realm and became one.
I was on the night that Steve and Flagstaff's granddaughter was born. I mean, you do. You come very close to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's 4 months old now.
But Terry's not here. Daphne's not here. Although, I was talking to somebody today and answering some questions, and they said, well, geez, Wynn, why don't you just let people talk to you? Terry, where are you?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi.
Is that Terry?
Nope, it's Marilyn.
That doesn't sound like Terry.
No, it's not Terry. It's, nope, is that Marilyn?
Yep, it's Marilyn.
I mean, Marilyn in Wisconsin?
I'm from Michigan.
In Michigan?
I was born there.
All right.
Now, I'm driving up a hill in Sedona.
Terry has arrived.
I'm here.
Terry's arrived?
I'm here.
If you had, if you had really good ears, you could hear my clutch slipping. And, Terry, where have you been? You're late.
Hey, Wynn.
Well,
hey, Wynn.
Yes.
Lisa, would you like me to step in for Daphne?
What's that?
Hello, may I help you?
What?
I think Daphne went to a coffee shop in Half Moon Bay.
Oh.
And I called her beforehand looking for her, and she wasn't home. So, now, just to let you guys know, you now know how long it takes to go from the supermarket to Terry's house, because I'm almost there. Terry, everyone's taking a ride with me.
You know,
the very first time we did it gradually, and I'll share this with you, the very first time was in New York City, and Daphne and I went to the World Trade Center, and it was so dark, we couldn't get any energy going. And so we did a channeling, and I said, what if I get some of the people on the conference call on the phone line, and would that help bring the energy in? And they said, yes. So then we did it, and then we spent 3 hours driving through Manhattan, going to different locations in the rain, and we were high as kites. It was, you know, this is in the middle of New York City, right? And we got the idea, maybe this works. But I didn't know it. I mean, it was just like, at that time, we would just go around to location and try to anchor energy at a location. And everybody would anchor, you know, like hold the space for a location. And that was, I think, when was that? 2006, maybe. And everything has evolved since then quite a bit. But nonetheless, I had that feeling just now. As I was driving from the supermarket, and I said, gee, this is like driving around as we first did it, and here I am. You can hear my door opening. This is authentic. These are not sound effects, folks. When getting out of his car at Terry's house in Sedona, and going into his back seat, get his computer, and I'm on my cell phone, so I might not be as loud as normal, okay?
Loud and clear.
And am I loud and clear?
Yes,
you are.
So this is the very essence of Zen spiritualism. It's the daily mundane opening the car door.
Here we go. We're opening the house.
Before enlightenment.
We're walking in.
Going to the grocery store. After enlightenment.
Before enlightenment, go to the supermarket and shop. After enlightenment, go to the supermarket and shop.
Ben
Brennan. Hi, Terry.
The universe.
Hi. Hi there.
See, Terry wasn't late. We were all early.
Well, you know, if you consider the fact that Terry's in another time zone,
well,
she's never late.
She takes
everything else is just trying to catch up.
Yeah.
What do you think, Terry? Is that right?
I can go to different time zones at will.
Now listen, don't brag, okay?
Well,
which is the best time zone?
All right.
I like the Elohim time zone because everything goes, you can get a lot more done over there.
You don't have to teach us how to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
All right. Now, I am opening my computer, and it's already on standby, so it will open up immediately the pages, theoretically. Here it goes. It's opened.
You're ready.
And we didn't hear anybody hang up, did we?
No.
So that's good.
No, we're here patiently.
We should do this more often.
Well, I'm feeling a little irksome. I mean,
I think that the hang-up tones are off.
The hang-up tones are off. Terry, are you ready?
And all you went to the group for was the tissues?
Say that again.
All you went to the grocery store for was tissues.
No, I wasn't preparing to cry tonight.
That was hard.
Well, you know, if you know my patterns, you know that I like going to coffee shops and supermarkets to work. I get away from everybody, and then I write. And I'm very concentrated there. So I quickly, let me see here. Is Anna on the line? Is Anna on the line? Anna Dones?
Any day now.
Anna is asking about, did negative show up as white clouds orbiting around your head? I don't know. Terry always looks like she has white clouds around her head. All right. I'm going to get serious. Here we go.
I want to request again that you leave the lines open after the call so that people can just socialize.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to do something, perhaps, that's a little bit different. And maybe what I'll do is I will set up a line that's open all the time that anyone can call in and see who's on the other on there and end up getting to meet new people. So what do you think of that idea?
Well, the thing about leaving them open after the call is through is such an energy after the call is through. Just having everything go dark is a real jolt. And having the line stay open so that we could continue to talk was...
Is that Willow?
Yeah, that's Willow. I win. Are you going to cut me off?
Hi, would you mute Willow, please?
Back to the forest, Willow.
Willow, I'll tell you, don't mute her, man. I'll get in big trouble. Leave her on, okay? Well, that's not to mute everybody. You know, the deal is after these calls, it's a double-edged sword because there is a good energy. And on one hand, one of the best things you can do with that energy is to hold the space and be quiet and not immediately disperse it with other people. And it's more important to learn how to come together with people and build the energy from scratch, being creative and learning that you can build the energy rather than take the energy, I'm not sure I'm right here, I'm just talking off the top of my head, but rather than take the energy from the call that was established, particularly on Sunday, and people are in such an exalted state, many of them, that I think starting to open the lines up so people can talk to each other is not as good as just letting people stay in their own zone. And in particular, you know, what was coming up in the past was that, you know, you really can't control what happens on that. And so now people have built their energy, and other people actually want to suck energy. They don't even know they're doing it. So people lose the opportunity to hold the space for as long as they could. And I think, you know, when I was younger, I used to do that all the time. I would blow my energy because when I was in a really good space, I'd want to share it with somebody, but then it would contract because very few people can share the space of that uplifted energy. But you know what? If I just left the line open and I said, hey, get on and say hello. And people have to be creative and build the energy, okay, from scratch, which is more important. I don't know. You know, I don't know completely the answer, but I do know one thing. The goal is that people learn by the example we set how to hold the energy, how to hold the space, how to bring it in into their own life with some kind of discipline whenever they want. And if you start doing that, you become kind of master of it. And prior to that, you know, you need to get your energy from somewhere else. So those are all my stuff. Is that Sylvia?
Yeah, Sylvia from Bellevue, Washington.
Hi, Sylvia. Hey, one of Terry's best friends lives in Bellevue, Washington.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Probably don't know him. Are
Is
you
that
still
right,
there?
Terry? Yeah,
okay.
I'm still here.
Did you just
drop your phone?
No, it wasn't me. No.
Okay.
Somebody else did that.
All right. Well, I'm going to mute everybody. And Daphne's not here, is she?
Not.
Anybody want to say anything before we mute everybody? Say it all together.
Yeah,
so we get to
I do. Is this the angel night?
It was awesome.
We never know when there's going to be an angel night, okay?
Oh,
so,
okay.
It's kind of like you have to gamble, right?
Oh.
You know, Sylvia, I don't know if you know this, but nobody that does this work likes to make commitments. They have to force themselves, you know?
Yeah, that's too bad.
That even includes Carla, because the hard part is making a commitment, showing up, and then forgetting you did all that so you can be in the moment, okay? And that's why when I asked Terry, are you ready? She says, no. And so
yeah,
we're the never-readies. And, you know, on those things that are really important for yourself, I'm going to unmute this. On the things that are... Okay, now it's not recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, this is September 9th, 2013. Welcome to the new year of 2013. Wind in Sedona, Terry in Sedona. And we were talking about how hard it is to make commitments and how Terry and I have both learned that the important aspect of all this is showing up and not worrying about it. And then you show up and not worry about it. And then we learn to get into the flow because we don't have any agendas. There's a high agenda here. The agenda is to bring in the frequencies of the higher realm. The agenda is to see if we can't find some of the wisdom and guidance that we all need to get through this life on Earth. And can we bring in the frequency of loving energy? And, you know, I don't know how to do any of those. Other than letting go, showing up and letting go. You can't do the things you really want to do, the most important things, by trying. You can't try to love somebody. You can't try to create a masterpiece. But you can put your brush to the canvas and hope for the best. And when you want to do something in your life, there is this predisposition, I think, in all humans that you want to be ready for it. There's some idea that one day you'll be ready, and when you're ready, you'll go out and do it. And unfortunately, that doesn't work. You might try to adopt our philosophy here of being never ready and doing it anyway. And you know what? If you take that idea, don't do things that are dangerous, okay? Do things that if for some reason you fail, you can still survive at the end of it. In other words, don't go into some event that you're not prepared for, that if you don't succeed, you will hurt yourself. Or don't loan money out more than you can afford to lose. Or be careful who you risk your emotions with. Okay? So, you know, don't be afraid of getting hurt, because you might get hurt, but it's okay, because that you learn things from getting hurt. You learn more from getting hurt than you do from protecting yourself. But don't risk more than you can afford to lose. Understand, it's a risk. I mean, when we show up on these calls for a period of time, we have to take the risk. Maybe everyone on the internet's going to be saying that idiot win free, and Terry Brown, and saying negative things. That maybe everyone would hang up. We, you know, when we're on these calls, we can hear when somebody hangs up. When I'm sending emails out, there was a period of time when I was scared to send emails out. I said, if I do this, maybe I'm going to offend people. Maybe they're all going to unsubscribe from my list. And so I had to keep taking chances to see how it would work, because we didn't know we could do this. And, I mean, this is not how I envisioned it to occur, okay? But that's the thing about being in the moment and letting go, because things can take their own direction. And, you know, this still falls within my intent. My intent is to contribute this connection to the higher realm, contribute wisdom and understanding so that people can know how to cope with their lives better, make things happen, and do all that without committing to anything, which is impossible because I'm showing up three times a week. I try to read all my emails. I try to respond. I can't do it all the time. So please, if I don't respond to your email, it's not because it's anything personal to you. It's because there are days when I think I don't want to look at my emails today, and I don't want to think about anything today. I have other things to do, and I think I'm going to get back to it. 2 days later, I have 100 emails. And I look at it, and I say, well, I'll get back to it the day after tomorrow. And it falls through the crack. So, you know, if I don't answer an email, it's not personal to you. Well, it could be. I mean, occasionally we get some silly questions. we have a question for tonight. Now, maybe there was something serious behind it. I'm not going to ask this, but could you ask the Elohim how I can fix the cracks in the ceiling? You know, I don't know if that's metaphorical or if somebody's joking with me or if they have aliens coming through the cracks, which is all possible. But I'm not going to ask that question. And, you know, oftentimes people ask questions where they're giving up their power. But it's okay, because we've learned, I mean, I've learned how to answer those questions without taking somebody's power. We are not psychics. Psychics can take your power, because they like to tell you what to do, and they like you to keep coming back and paying them. And since we're not charging anything, we have no obligation to anything other than to bring through what's most important. Now, I put you guys sitting in the supermarket with me, and I put you through driving home with me, and I don't usually do that, but I was catching up, and I got caught up, and I thought I was in one of those Elohim zones where I could get more into an hour than I did, okay? I will mention that I would, I didn't send this out, but Carla and I are going to do a three-hour session on this Saturday, which is going to be similar to our Monday session, but we'll get into a groove for a longer period of time. She may be giving away some angels. We'll see about that. And, you know, the problem with that, you know, we were having a conversation about that, and I was trying to understand more about the process, because, you know, I'm always testing things, and I asked her, I said, well, where are these angels coming from? And she said, I said, are they from the Elohim and Ra group? And she said, oh, no, Rosie is nowhere near that high. These are beings that are on the other side that are want to help, and they're not so different from you and I, apparently. And but they will work with someone from the other side, and it's kind of like having a friend on the other side that can't do much to take advantage of you, like humans can, and can be a support system. We're going to ask some questions about that tonight. Understand more about this idea of guides and how they can help and how you can be sure they're positive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have some questions about that, and it's a good line of questions, because a lot of, you know, there are a lot of people that take things for granted. And it is really easy to take things for granted and not realize you are. For example, if somebody comes up and says they're talking to the Elohim, they're talking to Source, are they really? How do you know? How do you know anything? There's all these areas of things that you can't know, and other people answer them, and they say, this is how this works, and you don't know, and then you believe them. And I would be really careful in that area. I would consider the possibility, but don't believe anything. In fact, what's most important is not what you believe, but what you can take into your life and cause something to shift inside of yourself, where you feel you're a better person, you're a more loving person, you're a more competent person, because of something you internalize. Being part of the group that all believes we're in a shift, that everything's changing, that this is going to happen and that's going to happen, it's not bad. But the whole, a lot of times groups are formulated on things nobody can prove, and yet people bond together because there's some kind of belief system. Like, we're the group that believes in Jesus. We're the group that believes in the Mayan calendar. We're the group that's New Age. And one of the things that I reach for in this group is not to base it on a belief system. Right? You know, there are a lot of great bits of information that come through, and I do think our sources are very positive. But to me, the most impressive thing that happens in this group is the energies that come in on our Sunday calls. And the way that I've experienced this myself, and I come in on the call, and I don't always come in on the call like, okay, here we go, guys. You know, the Tony Robbins motivation thing. Let's go, 1, 2, 3. Oftentimes I come in wherever I come in, and my energy transforms on the call, and your energies transform on the call. And it transforms in a way that feels so extremely loving, and we become more loving and caring and expanded. And you feel it. And you're not believing anything. You feel it. You're changing. you're expanding. It's working. And to me, that's an extraordinary validation of the work we're doing and that we are getting support from the other side and that it's opening people up to increase synchronicity and shifting their karmic patterns. And, you know, on Monday call that I did about Philip Dick, I know that was, so many people of you emailed me. I'm so glad I decided to share that because we are like plowing new territory. And when I was in the original stages, that was a huge validation because how do you know Carla Ruckert's right? How do you know she's not nuts? How do you know there's such a thing as a rockman? How do you know Terry's not nuts? How do you know Daphne's not nuts? Lynn is nuts. Maybe we're in a case of mass hypnosis and hallucination. And I mean, you know, I do talk to people, and occasionally they run that by me. How do you know this is not this? And tell them it could be, but I don't think so. I don't see what the indications are. Or how do you know we're not having a real hallucination, and the rest of the world is the crazy hallucination. Some people would say that, and there's truth in that, that the world, the reality system of the world, which seems we take for granted, on some level, is a mass hallucination that we've all agreed to. And how do you know what's what? That's why each person has to have free will. And groups that are best based upon common beliefs are weak. Doesn't mean they may not be bad. They may even have things to offer. I mean, but they're limited because they're based on a belief system. They're not based on an experience. And on that note, I don't know if you guys have been checking out the Spirit Channel, but we have a little counter at the bottom. We have almost 20 countries, people from 20 different countries that have checked in. And we have over 12,000 people in the last couple of months. And every day, people are checking it out. What does that mean? It means, I believe, that we've created in the public this body of sacred information that is now grounded in the public. You know, for years, I would never want to do that. I was scared to do it. I was scared, what are people going to think? You know, I was thinking we would get negatively attacked. People would make fun of us. And then I wouldn't want to do it anymore. Jerry wouldn't want to do it anymore. So we would invite people to think and, you know, tested it really carefully. And now, here it is in the public, on the web, and 12,000 people are going through it, which means they're listening to our session. They're reading the answers to our session, and they're building energy. You know, if there's 12,000, there can be a million. If there's a million, there could be 10 million. So it's wonderful. It kind of liberates me a little bit. I feel liberated by having that going on because now I don't have to focus on doing that, and this is the only chance we have of putting it out because once it's in the Spirit Channel, it just stays out there. And for as long as the internet lasts, hopefully that'll be a while. So on that note, I'm going to call in the light. And let me just see if Terry's unmuted. Are you unmuted, Terry?
Yes. Can
you
hear me?
I hear you.
No, I'm not ready.
Good. Well, neither of us are ready, so we can start.
All right.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted so for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxy, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our soul. And we invite those forces that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And what our sources like to give an introduction.
Thank you. We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. This is the 9th of January 2013, and we are available in the space in the 3rd density, coming in from the 10th density, and we are in proximity to each and every person who wishes to have us nearby or to have us close. We do not come over the telephone line. We do not come over the radio. It is the voice that comes over that. We come directly, non-linearly, into your space. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. And on the first question here, I would like, and actually Dave had asked this, but I'm going to revise this from what Dave asked, so just more general, but including what he said. You know, there is the idea that people have spirit forms that are in the invisible realm working with. And supposedly, everybody has senses. Some people call them guides. Some people call them angels. Some people call them the energy of the Elohim and Ra group coming in. In fact, the Ra group said to David Wilcox, the reincarnation of Edward Casey, we are surrounded, you know, we're always surrounded by a multitude of beings that are there to work with you, help you. Can we understand a little bit more about this idea of guides and how they work with us? Do they whisper in our consciousness with us when there's a guidance? Do they send us love when our hearts feel empty? And is it negative to attaching yourself this way, moving the various purposes? And how can we tell them? That was one good question. Answer it, and I'll try to answer that to you. Then.
Thank you. There are various levels of guides. The closest in level of guides are angels, individual, you might call them people, however, they have another aspect to them in that they have wings, and the majority of people cannot see them. However, there are people, sometimes children, that can see them. And they work very closely with individuals that they have been assigned to work with. They need to give their consent to work with these people. So they are working with their full intention and wholeheartedly. The angels are matched up in physical appearance. For instance, if they're working with a man who is tall and is of substantial weight, they will send an angel that may look like a Sumitomo wrestler. The presence of the angel in the physical, although not seen generally, exudes an aura that gives him or her authoritative presence simply by the physique. So that if you have a tall man, tall, stocky man, and you have a fine wrestler type body of an angel that is working with the man then will tend, if he comes into viewing the angel, will tend to respect him because of the similar stature and size. So angels are paired up with the individuals to have the most effectiveness in their communications. Angels can have some healing abilities and can help heal. They can provide love and care, nurturing for an individual, so that they will provide an atmosphere of being safe and an atmosphere of being cared for or being loved. The individual may not know exactly where this is coming from, but
hi,
will...
Carla.
Hi, Carla.
Hi there.
Welcome, Carla. This is the Elohim, and we are speaking of angels at this moment.
Please, may I listen?
Yes, we are delighted. We were mentioning the things that you also have brought up about the angels providing a safe space for the individual and providing an ambience of love so that the individual who is being protected or is being accompanied by the angel is able to have a more friendly experience where they may have felt lonely and isolated previously. Angels have other duties too, and some of these duties are to help as a guide when a person transitions and to bring them to the other side, to guide them, to show them where the tunnel of light is, and to be with them step by step as the person walks the steps of light into the higher realm, and to be with the individual and has wherewithal to guide the individual when the individual comes to the place where he is connected at the level that is optimum for him or her to be connected. These are guides that are of a lower level nature than the Ra group or the Elohim group. The Elohim group is more diffuse, is more watery, is more able to move with the whole situation, take the whole situation into account, and to provide a higher vibration of support. The vibration of the angelic realm is more similar to the vibration of the earth realm. So individuals can receive help and can recognize that it is help more from the angelic realm than from the Elohim realm. However, when you have the Elohim realm in the very high frequencies in the raw group coming into a broader range of frequencies in the angelic realm, bringing in a level of vibration that is above the earthly realm, and then the treasured vibrations, rich vibrations of the earthly realm, you really can have a grounding in other realms and within your own self, and can find that assistance to help with any vibrations that one self may be missing in the earthly realm. It helps provide a sample or a guide that one can use to begin to resonate at some of the higher frequencies. So if they are then not resonating at a frequency of love, then they can have this as an example in their space and can explore and begin as they wish, can reach towards it to vibrate also at that level. You had asked also if there was a possibility of the negative coming in from guides. We would not say that these, when it is negative, that this is not a guide. This may be a lost soul. This may be another person in the identity that has lost their body and is trying to find their way. So we would suggest when you experience around you vibration coming in or information coming in that you very carefully review and see if this is resonant with a positivity. And you can also ask for the Christ consciousness to come in. If you ask three times for the Christ consciousness to come in, then the negativity, the individual, if there is negativity, will have to leave. And unless in extreme cases of demonic possession, which in if there is a situation like that, an individual needs to get professional help to help to clear this from their space. Those are comments. Do you have any other questions on that area?
Maybe perhaps that if one has an angel, so to speak, and one hears voices in their head, which they think is coming from the angel, The angel is not necessarily infallible. Could we say that? So the person should always run any information and guidance through their own consciousness. Could we say that? Is that true?
That is very true. You are your source, your own center, and you have your resonance with the highest good. And this is where you come from, and you should not take any angelic guidance. Is be something to be under their control. It is very important, and also it is helpful for the angel for you to maintain your own center in your own resonance, as you would in your relationships with an earthly being. Angels still have areas that they are working through. There are different degrees of purity. As one practicing being an angel who has just crossed over may carry some of the karma from his past. So when you are working with an angel, treat it as that they are a friend. They are someone who is very helpful, desiring of helping you to feel safe, desiring of helping you to feel love. And when you resonate with that, both you and the angel benefit.
Thank you. We have time for one more question now. And Carla's here. That means we're going to do what we did on Sunday. So those of you who are on PBS are going to miss it unless you call in the phone line. And the quick question that we have, 7:55, we have about 2 or 3 minutes, is from Evelyn Yancey in 404 area code, which I believe is Atlanta, I believe. How can I tell if I'm on the right spiritual path? If I'm not, how do I get on the right path? And I want to make my quick answer to this. Everyone can change their path, and it's very easy. I think that most often people think they're on the wrong path because things are not working, and they think they have to catapult themselves and start their life anew and move to a new city and divorce their husband and never talk to their children again. That is not the way you change your path. It's very easy to change your path, and the way you do it is through random acts of kindness, unexpected gifts to other people that are totally free with no obligation attached to them. And every day, find ways to do this, and your path will change. That changes your path because you start giving out of grace. You have to do it without any expectation. You have to do it with the total joy of giving. And if you do that every day, no matter how bad you're feeling, find a way to do it, and something will shift inside you over a period of time. And then new opportunities will come in, new possibilities, because you're operating at a higher frequency. Let me turn it over to our sources, and we have a couple minutes. Let me see, it's 7:56. We have about 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you. Give us a moment. You are having some questions. So as you are having questions, it is an area where things are moving forward in a way that you wish they could be moving forward differently. So if you take a look at those things where you are dissatisfied, where you wish to tweak, where you wish to go better, where you wish to have more harmony, more communication, more compassion shown you, more validation, more satisfaction, more knowledge that you are on the right track, that you are contributing something wherein others are getting your contribution and are appreciating it. You'll have a great desire to be heard, to be acknowledged, to communicate, and to have others recognize you and your existence in your vibrant way that you have to contribute and to love you, to recognize the quality in you that wishes to contribute and to have that contribution acknowledged. However, there is an area where it's as if there is a catch, where it sort of
30 seconds
trips you up. You wonder if they quite get it. It is in this area that you can observe. You can see what it is that happens or stops your forward movement at that time. And by looking at that area and then going back to what happened just before that trip up, and getting a little book and writing down these areas that seem like setbacks and what happened just before and exactly what happened during it, this can help provide the information you need to see what is going on exactly there. Is there some belief that you have, some hesitancy about your own worth, something there that you could tweak, that if you didn't have that, you could flow through these areas that seem like setbacks? Those are our comments, and we love you.
Thank you very much. We are going to say goodbye.